Thank you for listening to this podcast from TRE, Talk Radio Europe, your voice in Spain and around the world. For more information, please visit tre.radio.
BBC Ski Theme there. And very good morning to Mark. Morning, Mark. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
How many people? Say hello to Nikki as well. Nikki, say hello to Mark.
Yeah.
Hi.
Nick is very up on all the sports, so we might just leave her to the sports news.
I think Mark's more of an expert than I am. We'll leave it to him.
Right. How many people, Mark, call you Mark Hambridge?
Just me. Probably at your doctor's appointment.
Yeah. Hambridge without the R in it. So I just so want to say Hambridge. It just feels... Right.
It feels natural. Yeah, a lot of people do say that. Yeah.
Okay. Right.
It feels right, but it's wrong.
Yeah. It's good, but it's not right. Right. Okay. So, Mark, it's been a great weekend for. Do you want me to put your fader down? Do you want to join in on these? Any of these?
I mean, I don't know what I'm going to know. I don't know what Mark's going to say.
It has been for the Premier League. We've seen a lot of upsets. A lot of teams winning that we didn't expect to win, which. By far the biggest was Tottenham against Manchester City.
Mark, are you close to your phone mic there? Because it's a bit distorted, sorry.
Is this better?
Yeah, it's better, yeah. Fabulous.
Manchester City lost against Tottenham at the Etihad, and that was definitely the biggest surprise of them all. It was pretty much just a brilliantly executed plan by Thomas Frank's Spurs.
Brilliant.
Which they didn't have... more possession, they didn't have more chances, but they just had a really good counter-attack game with Johnson and Polina scoring, and I thought that really they made the best of City's failure to finish chances.
Yeah.
And of course two mistakes from Trafford also also allowed them in.
Watching Manchester City the week before, you know, had a great win, great start to season for them. And you think they're going to go on from here, and you look at what they got on their bench and what they bring on, and you just think the class they've got. And yet it just didn't seem to go for them. They looked very sloppy, giving the ball away easily in midfield, and it just felt very sloppy for Manchester City side like that. And Trafford again, I think there's a few questions around him there. I mean, that pass out, basically, what on earth is he doing there, passing into that area there with all those Tottenham players just on top of him there? Just get the ball out.
Yeah, and it's a bit of unneeded pressure on himself, considering all the rumours swirling around Donnarumma and you know, how quick Pep is to fix something. You know, Pep's not the sort of player who says, all right, well, we've got him for the season, so let's, you know, use him for the season. And Pep's very much a player who will experiment and will get rid of problems he thinks that needs to get rid of. So Trafford's put a lot of pressure on himself because Donnarumma is in the market. He's rumored to want to move to the Premier League, or at least, you know, a top European side. City have the money to make that happen. So I think the next game or two for Trafford really might determine his rest of his career at Man City.
Nonetheless, I mean, we talk about City's failures, but what a great start to season for Tottenham.
It was fantastic. An emphatic win against Burnley, now one against Manchester City. And the moves that they've made in the transfer window, probably not as, you know, high level as some of the other clubs in, you know, Liverpool and Arsenal, but they've been silently some of the best moves we've seen, and I think really they're a side to watch out for. And another one who proved their work today was Arsenal this
Absolutely,
week
against
Leeds. That was an embarrassing match for any Leeds fans, but really it was just a masterclass from Arsenal. Gyökeres got his first two goals for his Arsenal career in what was just a dominant display. Goals from, I think, Saka. We saw a debut from a 15-year-old Max Dowman, who's a very exciting prospect. And they also brought out Eze at the start of the match, which is very nice. He was there for a lot of years as a child, as like a player in the academy. Didn't get the call up to go to the senior team, so left. and it is now back at 27. So it was sort of a feel-good story.
And sneaked him away from Tottenham. It looked like it's going to be a Tottenham play at one point. It was a fascinating story that last. I also watched Arsenal doing very well. After I thought, not a great start, 1-0 win over Man United last week, but it didn't look like the better team. United looked better until this week when they looked pretty shocking. We'll go on to that in a moment. But Chelsea, I watched Chelsea West Ham on Friday night. Chelsea, it looked like at one point West Ham might get a bit of a start on Chelsea, but a goal disallowed for them. And then Chelsea just go run riot.
Yeah, I can't tell whether this win is a testament to how good Chelsea's depth is and their quality, or just how bad of a season this might be for West Ham.
I think 50-50, really. I would go 50-50 on that. West Ham United do look pretty shaky right now, don't they?
Yeah, they do. And I think it's one of their worst ever starts to the season with 8 goals conceded in 2 games. So there's going to be a lot of questions on Graham Potter. There's a lot of questions before the season started. Now there's a lot more, but you can't discount, you know, from Chelsea. They're a class side. They're one of the best in the world, as seen at the Club World Cup. So it was always going to be a tough match for West Ham. I think the scoreline just shocked a lot of people.
Yeah, absolutely. What else from the week? Well, let's talk Man United then. I watched them yesterday. And I thought Man United, from the week before, I thought there's some real positive signs there. And that team didn't turn up for some reason. But, you know, whether they're turning up against the bigger boys and then, you know, thinking, oh, we'll beat Fulham, I don't know. But it wasn't to be.
Yeah, there's a lot to say in this match. And something I noticed from a lot of the pundits after the match is they were quite positive. And a lot of the numbers really don't show any reason to be positive. You know, it's now 29 matches for Amram, with 28 points in all of those 29 matches. And, you know, Man United, fair enough. They did look like they had some attacking intent. You know, Cunha and Mbeumo, once again, were fairly impressive. But, like, the issue is that a good mood or attacking intent or, you know, XG or chances, and none of those matter at the end of the season when you've played all the games and you're looking at the position on the table. You don't get points for those things. You get points for those ugly wins, for those matches where you're able to come in and progress the ball and take chances. And a lot will be said about Arsenal's win last week, but the fact was they did win. They won in the way that you needed to win those kind of matches. It's not about flair, it's not about style, it's about getting those 3 points and moving on to the next one. And to be fair, I think Fulham should have and could have walked away with all 3 points.
Looked like they were going at one point. Yeah, I just felt that Man United were absolutely overrunning the midfield, and that's where they need to strengthen.
And that was shown, you know, with them switching from, you know, Casemiro to Ugarte and just, you know, nearly experimenting mid-match. But even their goal there was questionable. It was Scorfioro headed into Nunes, who then put it in the back of his neck, back of his net. And I just thought that Fulham could have easily walked away with all 3 points there. I didn't think it was the performance we expected. And there's still a lot of questions, you know, especially around that Fernandes penalty. You know, he came out, you know, a lot of pundits, and he came out afterwards saying, you know, the referee bumped into him and that distracted him. And for a player who's...
it's literally on Sky Sports now, this very penalty that you're talking about. It's on Sky Sports.
It seems so shaky.
Yeah, and I don't know, I'm going to say this, and I know you may agree or disagree, I don't know why they didn't just sell Fernandes to Saudi Arabia and get the money for him.
Yeah, I think they were right to keep him, but in another world, they definitely could have done that. I think Fernandes gives a lot more than he takes. Yesterday was just a bad match all around. Yeah. I don't think a lot of players can hold their heads up high, but I thought I was, you know, obviously looking at the match live, and I heard Gary Neville say that, you know, the referee distracted them. But, you know, you still have 10, 15 seconds there to settle yourself down and then take it. It seems quite a weak argument to say, you know, walking into the back of someone distracts you and then you sky the penalty.
Yeah, you're a professional footballer. You shouldn't let it distract you.
Exactly. I mean, you're on six figures, you know, 250, 300 grand a week.
Put the ball in the net. You know, it's anyway. Let's move on. There's some great matches as well. Everton getting a win, which was good news for Everton. Let's move on to La Liga. And, of course, Barcelona had a dramatic comeback. Real Madrid getting a win last night. What are you talking about, Mark?
I think I have to talk about the Barcelona match. Mm. I was really impressed with it. You know, it solidified that argument of the Barcelona style of, you know, never say die. I think that's always been a thing of Barcelona. It's being solidified more under Flick. And they went 2-0 down at halftime to Levante. It was sort of a match that I think even shocked them. No one was really expecting them to struggle too hard on that one. But they came back, goals from Pedri and Torres. I thought, and then an own goal from a Yamal cross, I thought was a really impressive performance by Barcelona. It showed, you know, a certain level of grit that winning teams need. You know, we talk about how teams win and how champions are made. And champions aren't necessarily made in the moments of going into the matches and winning the ones they're meant to. It's in those moments when, you know, you're meant to lose, the cards are against you, and you're able to turn that around that proves winning teams, championship teams. So I think Barcelona made a statement in this match, even though they were losing for half of it. It was a statement match from them that, listen, we're never going to give up.
Yeah, Real Madrid getting a win last night as well. All on track. Let's talk tennis. Raducanu through. I think Djokovic is through as well, if my memory serves correctly. US Open is up and running.
Yeah, I was really impressed with Raducanu. I thought that it was a really good match. She, you know, only left three games on the table.
Yeah.
A really interesting stat I saw is she only had 6 unforced errors compared to Shabiara's 36.
Oh, wow.
So I was really stunned by that. I think under her new coach, she's looked more consistent. You know, she's looked more composed. And there was a lot of worries for a long time, you know, that maybe being, you know, so great so early, you know, on that world stage that it might have really weighed on Raducanu. But I've been really impressed with performances as of late at some of the tournaments. So I think she's on a better road now.
Yeah.
But it's still tougher because Sabalenka, the defending champion, is going for a third consecutive U.S. Open final, something we haven't really seen since the Williams sisters. So it's not exactly a cakewalk at the U.S. Open. Like, you know, it's one of those tournaments that all the pros want to win. You know, it's kind of like in the world stage. So it's tough. And talking about the Williams sister, we also have Venus, who's there returning. Yeah.
Fabulous. Amazing.
45.
I know. Yeah. Nikki, want to jump in on anything to do with the US Open for tennis?
I've not watched it.
What about, let's move on to Golf Championship coming to an end. If you could do that in 10 seconds, Mark, then we'll go to F1.
Tommy Fleetwood finally got a win. I think that's the big thing, you know. He's finally done it after 164 attempts.
Yes, Tommy Fleetwood, well done. So yesterday I watched, I don't know if you've seen this yet, Nikki, I don't know if this will be on your to watch list. Brad Pitt.
Okay.
Yeah, already she's interested. He's 62,
sport,
you know.
Is he?
Brad Pitt's 62.
Wow.
He looks amazing. And he's in the film called F1. Have you seen it, Mark?
Oh yeah, no, it's a good marketing piece for F1. I think.
Oh, I loved it, and I tell you, we were watching it, and my wife doesn't like F1 much at all. I'm starting to get into it again after many years of not watching it, and after watching that, I thought I can't wait for the next Formula One Grand Prix. So I'm hooked in. I'm signed up. Such a great movie, it really is. And Brad Pitt playing a former driver who comes back at an old age to win again. No spoilers though, please. Right. So Mark, what's F1 news? Summer break is over.
Yeah, so we're back from the summer break. A summer break we needed from all the drama in F1, with of course Red Bull departing with Christian Horner after 20 years, a lot of shakeups, questions around Hamilton. So I think we needed this break. the next Grand Prix race, for anyone who watched the latest F1 movie, is the Dutch Grand Prix in Zandvoort. It's back next weekend.
Yeah.
And there's a lot to look forward to. You know, Red Bull and Ferrari are bringing fresh updates to the car. Of course, McLaren are still, you know, the ones to catch. But the big news in F1 is Cadillac. And, of course, America are bringing a team to F1 next year. It's called Cadillac F1. And the whole question is, who are the drivers going to be? We want to know, you know, who are we going to get to support? And
must have big money behind them, then. Yeah, lots of money.
Lots of money, yeah. But the front runners for the two seats are Sergio Perez, the Minister of Defense from Mexico, as he's called, and Valtteri Bottas, which really I couldn't be happier with those two lineups. It's a rookie team. There's going to be a lot of concerns on, you know, just the factory side of things and management, who are not going to have a lot of experience in F1, or at least this current climate of F1. So to bring in two, you know, experienced drivers will definitely ease that pain, because they know how teams work. They'll be able to work around, you know, the troubles of a new team growing up. So I think, you know, with these two drivers, you've brought in two proven winners. You know, Perez and Bottas are both proven winners, and they were absolutely necessary in helping Verstappen and Hamilton win their championship titles. So I think this is a really good move for
Canada. Can Lando land it this year?
I've been more convinced every week I've saw him. I've been more convinced that he can, but at the same point, he is such a fickle driver.
Yeah.
And like, he just, Piastri seems so calm behind the wheel.
I'm a very fickle driver. Yeah. Yeah. Well, listen, Mark, as always, thank you very much, my friend, for bringing us up to date on all the latest sports. We've got just a quick 10 seconds. I'm going to give you an opportunity now to predict the score against Liverpool Newcastle tonight. Isak, of course, nowhere on the scene. What's your thoughts quickly on that?
I'm going to go probably 2-0 to Liverpool. I think, you know, Liverpool are, I don't think it's going to be a massive scoring game. I think it's a grudge match, and the defenses are going to be tight. So I think Liverpool are just going to edge it.
Okay. And what do you think about Isak at the moment? Is he not doing himself any favours?
No. I can understand why he's doing what he's doing, but I can also equally understand why Newcastle fans are so mad.
Yeah.
I think, if anything, this is going to deter people away from signing for Newcastle if this is how they're dealing with players wanting to leave. So I think they need to wrap this up fairly fast by either selling them or bringing them out.
Well, the end of August will come nonetheless, whatever they do. So we shall see what the outcome is. Mark, as always, thank you very much, Mark. Have a lovely day, mate. Cheers.
You've been listening to a TRE production. If you've enjoyed this program, there'll be another episode waiting for you next week, right here on this platform, where you can also access our extensive back catalogue of shows and interviews. For more information on our live programming, social media channels and apps, and how to contact Talk Radio Europe, please visit tre.radio.